Jim Dearman.
Today we're going to talk about the importance of being in the vine. We need to understand what we mean by in the vine. And to gain that understanding, we read from the words of Jesus recorded in John 15, verses 1 through 8, where Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast forth, or cast out as a branch, and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Here, Jesus speaks of the importance of his disciples abiding in the true vine, but he identifies the true vine as himself. "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser." Now, who are the branches? Who are the branches? They are the individual disciples. You see, he says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Every branch. Who are the branches? Down at verse 6, he says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." So, anyone. That is, any one individual. An individual believer. And so, Christ identifies himself as the true vine, his Father as the vine dresser, and the branches as individual believers in Christ. And all spiritual blessings are found in the vine. He makes that perfectly clear. All spiritual blessings are in the vine. Now, we need to ask today, what comes to those who are in the vine? In the first place, in the vine, this text tells us there is purity. Verse 3, Jesus said to his disciples on this occasion, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." You are already clean. Looks back at their conversion, doesn't it? They were purified. They were made clean. They were sanctified. They were set apart by what? By the word of Christ. You remember in John 17, which records the Lord's Prayer, there he said in verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Now here he has said, "You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And that's how we remain clean, by continual obedience to the word. But that's how we're initially cleansed. In the vine there is purity, but we are purified by obedience to the word. And this emphasizes the importance of the word. Listen to what Peter wrote on the subject in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 beginning. There Peter said, "Since you have purified your souls," and again he's writing to Christians, those who had purified their souls, but how had they done it, Peter? Listen, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." Then he goes on, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." What word is this, Peter? He says, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." And so you see, everyone who is purified, everyone who is in the vine, enters the vine by being purified through obedience to the gospel, to the word of the gospel that is preached to him. He must obey the gospel. By this we get into the vine. By this we are purified, and only those who've been purified by obedience to the Word of God are those who are added to that vine, who are a part of Christ, who are in the vine. And so, again, this beautiful statement from Jesus emphasizes the importance of obedience, simple, sweet obedience, to the Word of Christ, to the gospel of Christ. And so, in the vine there is purity. But in the vine there is also progress. Look at verse 2 of John 15. Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes." Why is a plant pruned? To make progress, that it may bear more fruit. You see, we progress by pruning. Growth comes to the child of God, to the one who's in the vine, by withstanding trials and temptations. And yes, there are difficulties, there are trials, there are things we encounter as those who are in the vine that can be unpleasant, that can test our faith. And yet James, on another occasion, wrote in James 1, beginning at verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." You see, he says, enduring temptation will strengthen us. Now, earlier in James 1, that was verse 12, but earlier he says, "My brethren," verse 2 of James 1, "count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And so, trials or the testing of our faith come to give us progress in the vine. They prune us. Now, temptation, resisting it, brings strength. But temptation does not come from God. In fact, James goes on in verse 13, which we did not read a moment ago, of James 1, to say, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And so, temptation comes from the devil, but when we endure it, when we withstand it, when we resist it, we make progress, we become stronger. And yes, the sufferings of life, the trials and the difficulties that don't involve temptation, but a different kind of trial. James says, count it joy when you fall into these various trials, because they can make you stronger, they can give you that steadfastness, that patience. Progress, in other words. And so in the vine, yes, we are pruned. We must endure certain trials, certain difficulties. But we make progress when we endure those trials successfully. And when we withstand the devil's temptation successfully, we become stronger, hopefully, for the next time that he tries to overthrow us. But also in the vine, there is production. And this is related to the point we've just made. There is production. Verses 4 and 5. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And so, there is no fruit that can be born by the child of God unless he is in the vine. You know, that tells us that despite a lot of good things that people do in our world, benevolent things that they do, things that benefit others, and we appreciate the benefit that those things have upon others, unless those things are done within the context of being in the vine, they will certainly not do anything to help us in terms of getting to heaven. You see, our fruit must be born as a result of being where? In the vine. In the vine. That's where we must be productive. "We can do all things," as Paul reminded us in Philippians 4:13, "through Christ who strengthens us. Working together with God and Christ, we bear fruit. We produce. We produce. And as we produce, we thereby prove our discipleship." Listen to verse 8. "By this," by what? "By bearing fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." That's what he says. "By this," by what? "That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So you will be my disciples by bearing much fruit. And so, there has to be that production. But the production must take place in the vine, because without Christ, the true vine, we cannot bear fruit as Christians. As we said, there are those who do good things in our world that may help others. But what about the fruit for themselves in terms of the benefit of that fruit? It's not fruit that's being born as a direct result of being in Christ. And that we must appreciate to the fullest extent. And finally, in the vine, there is not only purity, as we've seen, there is not only progress and production, but in the vine there is promise. Listen to verse 7 of John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. The wonderful promise here is made of prayer. Prayer being heard. Prayer being answered. There is the promise of the providence of God, the provision of God. For those who are in the vine, abiding in Him, continual idea. Keep on abiding in me, my words keep on abiding in you, and as you continue to do my will, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Of course, we understand this to be asking in accordance with the will of God, as we're elsewhere taught in Scripture. But it also points out the importance of being in the vine if we expect our prayers to be heard and answered. And so abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ. But that involves the words of Christ abiding in us. You see, that's the means by which we abide in Him. And again, it gets us back to the power, the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. To furnish a man completely unto every good work. And so in the vine, there is purity. In the vine, there is progress. There is production, and there is promise. But apart from the vine, there is punishment. Again, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Sobering words from the Savior in verse 6 of John 15. So much encouragement in those early verses, those other verses, for those who will come into the vine through belief in Jesus that leads one to repent of his sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, and to be buried in baptism for the remission of sins, to be added to his church, and then to remain faithful in the church, abiding in his word, thus abiding in the vine. So much promise there, but punishment for those who will not.